Fight!
Welcome again to New Game Plus, a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name is Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And typically, we sit down and talk about our experiences with a retro game that we played over the last week. But this week, we're doing something different, right,
yeah,
men?
Yeah, screw that.
Yeah. We're not doing that anymore.
Yeah, forget that.
This isn't even a gaming podcast anymore. Now it's a Christmas podcast.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about sports.
Woo!
And
football!
Basketball!
Hockey.
Yeah, that's all I know.
Cricket.
Oh, yeah, yeah, crickets.
Cricket, that's a good one.
No, but we are going to do something different today. We want you to have the merriest Christmas you could possibly have. And so we have come together, and our executive producers have encouraged us to do this. And so we are releasing a bonus episode to make your holidays bright.
And your nights merry and full of Christmas joy.
And so this is really just going to be a relaxed podcast. Like, we don't have an agenda. There's no plan to speak of. We're just going to have some fun, casual conversation. So if that's not your thing, turn this podcast off.
See y'all later.
Go listen to something different. But, I mean, there'll be some game conversation as there typically are. There's going to be some
Absolutely.
Christmas talk. There's going to be some real life stuff. And so, I mean, let's just start off with something that's simple. I would love to know, guys, if y'all have any, like, uncommon Christian... I would love to know if you guys have, like, any uncommon Christmas traditions.
We like, follow the typical Christian Christmas traditions.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Do y'all have anything that's, like, uncommon? Anything that y'all do that is different?
Oh, and it uncommon?
Uncommon. Uncommon. Is there any uncommon traditions or things that you do to celebrate Christmas with your family or you personally?
Not that it's like a huge or unique thing, but I know everybody's like eating is a huge part of Christmas for most people if
sure.
you're human and sane, because food is great. And our viewers don't know us as well as they could. My family is originally from the southwestern part of the U.S. And so we usually, either the day of Christmas or after, for sort of that week in between, we often will bust out, like, overdosed amounts of Mexican food as kind of the theme. It's a little different than kind of ham and turkey and what have you. But we have tamales and pozole and all kinds of really great stuff that's sort of untraditional for probably what most people would think of, but has become part of our sort of Christmas tradition. I always look forward to that. It's delicious.
That's your Christmas meal?
It's like
surrounding
Christmas holiday meal. Yeah. Sometimes it's day of, sometimes we'll do it, you know, the day after and eat nothing but that until the new year, you know, what have you.
So like
but
the same
it's always
stuff
part
you
of,
eat all week.
That is not true. It's like we go above and beyond, and it's intentional and big and everything. I don't know. It's just part of our tradition.
No,
so
that's
I'm jealous of you, Kenny.
That's really cool. And something that our viewers wouldn't know because they can't view us is that Kenny is not even close to being Hispanic.
That's true.
He's close.
I'm close-ish.
Is anyone in your family Hispanic?
No.
Well,
Kenny, you're pretty white, and you're kind of Irish because you got a little red tint in your hair.
Kind of got the beard thing going.
Sure. So
yeah.
So that's interesting that y'all eat tamales and frijoles
yeah,
and all these
awesome.
Other Spanish words that you said for your Christmas meals.
Uh-huh.
Something that we've done, and it's. I don't think we don't do it anymore really because the one who kind of led the process has passed away just a couple of years ago. But my grandfather, we used to gather when we were on that side of the family, we would gather at his house or at a cousin's house, and we do the typical thing, which is eat a lot, not Mexican food, but your typical Christmas food, and then we would read the Christmas story. But then
are you guys like ham people?
We hand people.
Are you ham people or like turkey? What is traditional Christmas food for you?
Yeah, we go ham.
Okay. You go ham? I always knew.
And I mean, there's ham and there's turkey.
It's your food and your gaming philosophy.
Sure, and life.
And life.
There's nothing unique about the food. There's nothing unique about reading the Christmas story. A lot of families do that. But what we do afterwards is what is a little bit our tradition. And so my grandfather would lead us in these old hymns of the church. And usually he would, like, they're songs that he sang when he was a kid. And so the songs aren't sung as much anymore for the most part. And so they were led by my grandfather.
Really old school stuff.
Really old school stuff.
Oh, that's great.
But what's even better is that my grandfather only remembered just a few of the words. And so when we'd get into it, no one else knows the song either. And so by the second verse, it's kind of just turned into this
just like
mumble of hums,
sort of like hum along.
Yeah, hum along. It turns into a hum along. Goes from a sing along to a hum along, and that's always been memorable. That's obviously holds a special place in my heart. My grandfather, sweet tender old man, would just sit there and like bellow out his tears the whole time because of how moved he was and how happy he was that our family was there and how grateful he was for what God's done for him this year. And he would just sit there and cry, trying to lead us in these songs. And the family would, we want to be in that moment with him, but at the same time we can't ignore how kind of funny it is. So we're looking at each other and smiling, and then it's that time where you're not supposed to laugh, so everything is even more funny.
Everyone's like suppressing giggles but also like moved by the whole thing at the same time.
Right. And so it was this weird, awkward mashup that is beautifully imprinted in my memory, and can't wait till a time we get to do that again in the future.
Is your dad going to kind of lead that anymore, or now that your grandfather's gone, or what's going to happen?
I would imagine, I think he wasn't here this last Christmas and we gathered together, and I'm trying to remember. I've got a poor memory, but I would imagine that we sing a song or two, but
that you knew.
Things like that are never the same.
It's not the same.
It's always the person as much as the thing that makes it special, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. I imagine that my dad or his brother would carry it on because they're like their father in many ways. So, I mean, that's just something that we do. Is there anything that y'all do, Nolan? I mean, I've already, but you've had time to think.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to think, but honestly, if you can think of the most just basic
generic
movie scene Christmas, that's probably ours. However, and I don't know if this, I've never heard of anyone else having this, so I'll just say it. We have breakfast, and my mom makes breakfast pizza. Is that a normal thing? Is that like common?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well then we're cool. It's just like I mean, it looks like a pizza. It's like croissant bread as the crust with like breakfast stuff. So like eggs and meat and cheese. And it's really good. And we only eat that on Christmas. So it's like a Christmas tradition.
That's totally a Christmas thing for you guys.
Okay, cool. Well then, that's ours, I guess.
Yeah.
Other than that though, you know, it's just wake up, do the gifts, sometimes go to my grandparents' house, but now that we don't live in the same state, we normally just hang out at the house. And I'm sure that's a lot of people's, but I enjoy that still.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Christmas is kind of just get together with family. You don't have to be doing a lot. That's, I think, kind of a big part of Christmas. And with that, a lot of people watch Christmas movies. Some people love certain ones. Some people loathe other ones. Elf is one of the most recent Christmas movies that everybody went bonkers over.
I think we've got a time slated to watch it with my like niece and nephew later today. Even.
Do you really?
It's like on the schedule.
Do y'all think, it's not a Christmas movie, but do you think Frozen's going to enter into that mix?
No.
I mean, not
I've never seen it, but so I can't, I don't know. I can't really judge that, but I don't think so.
I don't think it will. I don't think it's Christmassy enough.
Well, I mean,
didn't it come out at Christmas though?
Isn't it as Christmassy as Die Hard?
No,
Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Christmas movie than Frozen is.
Sure. What is your favorite Christmas movie? What's the movie that has and holds a place in your heart, Nolan?
I'm Living Alone.
I wish I knew that one. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Home Alone.
Yeah.
Both of them. I love them.
Both of them. So one and three, right?
No, get out.
Three doesn't even exist.
Probably Culkin till I die.
Yeah.
Those are super classy. That's a great answer.
I mean, that's mine too.
But you almost didn't catch the line.
Well, I don't know it as well as you do, probably. Oh. And but it is. I'm not a huge Christmas movie fanatic, but oh, okay. Home Alone, and so that's why it's kind of easy.
Yeah,
for
I
me
usually
to pick Home Alone.
Like I usually only watch Christmas movies like once a year, so I'm probably not like a huge fanatic either.
What time of the year do you usually watch it?
Just sort of whenever, you know.
Yeah, like Thanksgiving.
Sometimes it's around Christmas summer. Or so. Yeah,
Christmas. You watch Christmas movies
usually.
At Christmas.
I mean, yeah.
It's funny that you said that, like in jest, because my friend Greg, in high school, when I would stay over at their house, his dad was like so into Christmas more than anyone I've ever met, and they would start watching like Christmas movies at the beginning of November.
Oh,
and
that's the worst.
Well after Christmas, they would
so early.
I would wake up at 10 o'clock on the couch, and his dad would be laughing at Jingle All the Way downstairs, and I was like.
I am a staunch believer in not celebrating Christmas until Thanksgiving is over.
I agree.
And I have people around me who, you know, start singing songs before and doing whatever, you know, putting up decorations and what have you. And it just bothers me. I'm like, show some respect for Thanksgiving. Give the turkey some love.
Y'all both know who my secretary is, but my secretary in the office, and so this isn't going to startle you guys, but for our viewers, my secretary in the office, I kid you not, started playing Christmas music as soon as the school year started. So we're talking about like August, September, she started playing before Halloween,
crazy.
She started playing Christmas music and would have it on her Pandora on her desk. And so we'd
Wait,
hear it.
Did you say August?
Yeah.
No.
August,
that's
September.
That's, yeah, that's so
See,
excessive.
I'm not as like stern on you cannot mention it or celebrate it until after Thanksgiving. Like, but kind of, I'm okay with you putting up your tree Thanksgiving Day, you know, after you eat
oh,
or
even
something.
That's fine.
Oh,
it's
yeah, yeah.
Like the family's together and you're
okay.
starting it. But
then
I
guess I'm also a firm believer
in
that.
Start it until then.
Yeah. My wife and I watched Christmas Vacation last night. Neither of us had ever seen it. And we
really?
Watched it for the first time. Yeah, that's one of the – we were going through Christmas movie lists to try to figure out what we wanted to watch. Last night we opened up our gifts a couple days early and we wanted to watch a movie last night. And we were going through the list, had seen most of them, you know, A Miracle on 34th Street. 31st Street is the street that I grew up on, so I get confused. Home Alone and even Die Hard was on some of those lists. And there's so many classic Christmas movies, but we had never seen Christmas Vacation, so we decided to watch it last night. Both of us were, I don't know, we thought it was fun, but it didn't win a place in our hearts or anything.
It didn't age well. It wasn't New Game Plus worthy.
No, it's a certain kind of humor that I don't know.
That should have died like in the 80s.
Yeah, it's National Lampoon. It's that whole kind of
right
thing.
That one fights for my favorite because of how much my dad watched it growing up. He loves that movie.
I was surprised.
It's like classic nostalgia for you.
I was surprised at how like dirty. Like, I mean, it's not like
yeah.
the whole movie is, but it's, I mean, it's got some mature content. And so
we had the TV aired censored version recorded. We never had the actual one because it is, I watched it uncensored later in life and I was like, geez.
Yeah. I mean, Christmas
was my
movies,
childhood. Yeah.
Right. Christmas movies, you want to be able to sit down and watch it with your whole family without anybody feeling awkward. And if you're watching the uncensored version of Christmas Vacation, I think it's going to get a little bit awkward at times.
Yeah. I definitely tend to fall into the really classic category. I'm kind of having a complete brain melt and don't even remember the title. But the classic Christmas one with the angel.
Angel
it's
gets
a wonderful
its
life.
Yeah, It's a Wonderful Life. There you go. Thank you. I don't know how that fell out of my brain, like most common ever, but I'm totally that guy.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. Yeah, We're not allowed to watch it anymore because my wife acted in the play like 2 years back to back, and now she...
Just like overdosed
yeah,
on it.
Yeah, she doesn't Absolutely. Want it anymore.
No, I can understand that for sure. But it's a fun one, so it's one that gets in my rotation occasionally. You know, not all the time.
Have either of you planned on getting any games for Christmas? Like, are you getting any video game related content or items for Christmas that you know of, or
not
that you hope for?
Not like from other people.
From yourself.
But I will probably, buy myself a few things. So, Merry Christmas to me.
Yeah, it's like now we we have to buy games for ourselves because it's like it's kind of weird asking other people for one now that we're this old.
Yeah,
that's true. Like we're adults,
right?
But honestly, it's a pretty common thing. Common way people spend their entertainment time. You know.
I've got no shame. I mean, I'm not just gonna ask the random person, but like if my parents ask for a list or my wife asks for a list, then I might throw something on there.
But they also both like know that you're, you know, gamers and that you enjoy that kind of thing. I may even get some of those kind of things from people I don't know yet.
Yeah, for you
have that kind of relationship.
You hide it to everybody that you are a gamer and a nerd.
It not the nerd part, but I don't. For some reason, I don't like broadcast that I'm a big game player. But when you get to know me, that's definitely a big part.
Can we talk about that real quick? And I don't mean to get into some philosophical conversation, but I was thinking just earlier today, like, why are reading books, okay, sitting down and staring at pieces of paper with text written on them, like applauded? That is a brilliant way to spend your time. That is a great way to use your creativity. But sitting down in front of a screen with a controller in your hand, playing a story and bringing it to life is kind of looked down upon in our culture. Why is that a thing? Like, you're not embarrassed telling people that you're a reader. You're not embarrassed asking for a book, but you're embarrassed, you know, but we don't want to ask for
embarrassed is a strong word. But
okay.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't say it this last time. But I mean, why is that stigma there?
Because the propaganda, or I mean, books have been around so much longer. Okay. So that's obvious. But then there's like the propaganda from news and from the media that's like, games are causing your kids to be violent, or games are ruining your kids' lives, making them lazy. And
I do have
no one would ever consider it with a book.
Like, I'm a little afraid sometimes that we're going to get some old classic shooter on one of these weeks, and I'm going to spend the week playing it and then, you know, go on some kind of rampage.
Yeah.
Because that's how that works.
I've been worried about you for a while. You know,
this isn't new.
That's how that works, right?
Do you think that there will be a day, maybe even in our lifetime, where video games are applauded? Maybe not as much as books, because the longevity is not there, but at least more than they are now?
I think no, specifically because of the direction that games are taking. Like, gaming anymore and the popularity of it tends to be a sort of short session based cell phone, iPad, you know, not interactive, not story driven,
there's
play
more,
it again and again kind of thing.
There's more gamers now than ever before.
But I think the stigma that goes with it when you're talking repetitive games, microtransaction driven games, just a lot of the things that are becoming the new norm, move even away from games that have story in depth or ask hard questions or those kind of things. But that's not to say there's not good games out there, and that, you know, especially some indie developers aren't doing cool, artistic, important, challenging things. So I don't know. I'm a little torn.
I think the industry is gaining more respect than it ever has, but I can see where Kenny's coming from, and that's my worry too, is like, I am really bugged when people will be on their cell phones when they're either like at the dinner table or when they should just be conversing.
Yeah, like with humans.
Yeah, it really, really bothers me. And there are those session-based games, and like, games are being pushed to like handheld devices like crazy now. And people play them and will view that as like a distraction or negative thing, which a lot of those games are kind of crappy anyways, but I think the industry, like the actual gaming industry, when we're looking at Steam and then like the Nintendo and the major companies, they're doing, I mean, it's making a lot of leaps as far as like the customer base that they're building. But I don't know if people would see it the way that we would see it. Like, they would still consider it a waste of time or something lazy. And I don't know why they use books. Or like, to answer your question, Dustin, I don't know why people would be like praising books when it's pretty much the same thing. It's not like you're getting dumber.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I even like, I feel like binge watching shows on Netflix or going to the movies are more acceptable, you know, to mainstream culture,
right,
than sitting down and playing a video game.
Which is actually more ridiculous.
Yeah.
I really think, you know, that
I have no idea if the stat is true. This is definitely I heard somebody say who said, so take it completely with a grain of salt. But I had somebody tell me recently that like watching like Netflix or any kind of like mindless television just in mass, that you actually like burn even less calories doing that than you do sleeping. just because of the way your brain just sort of completely disengages.
No, I wouldn't doubt that.
So I have no idea if it's true. One of our viewers can Snopes me or something and, you know, email us, tell me if I'm full of it. But, like, it's definitely way more passive than something active like a video game. So,
yeah
I've never gotten that sort of dilemma either. I am a big reader and love that.
Yeah. No, and I know y'all y'all agree with me. We have a podcast on gaming, but like
exactly.
Playing games. Watching something on Netflix or in the theater and reading, combine those two and then make it interactive, and that's what a video game is.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
and
it
so
really
like
is.
Even more so, like engaging and using your those parts of your minds and engaging, like problem solving and all sorts of good can come from video games. And I know this is a conversation that's happened over and over. We're not the first ones. We're not the last
absolutely.
Ones.
Absolutely. And there's plenty of negative that can come as well, depending on the kind of game and how you're interacting
absolutely.
With it.
Absolutely.
But it is interesting to see where that stigma comes from.
And that's
you
with
know?
Anything. That's with anything. I mean, anything, most things can be a positive thing or it can be a negative thing, depending on how you use it.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's crappy books, and there are books you wouldn't want your kids to read, and that's
right.
The,
like, if I told all our viewers that I just, like, the only thing I read is romance novels, they would mm-hmm. probably judge me a little bit for that, and I wouldn't blame them. I mean, if that's your thing, like, that's your thing, but, like...
Kenny likes Twilight. He's just trying to stall.
I'm a twi-hard? Was that the phrase they had for this?
Definitely twi-hard. Nolan... Are you getting any video game related items for Christmas?
I asked for some, and I've already purchased some games for myself. I'm sure a lot of our viewers know already that the Steam Winter Sale has begun. And if you didn't know that and you have a PC, you need to go look right now because there's a lot of good deals. So I purchased two games already.
This podcast sponsored by Steam.
Yeah, give
I
us
wish.
That Steam bucks. That'd be awesome. No. I have two games that I've purchased.
Deal.
I got Rocket League, which I've had my eye on for a while, for really cheap, and Counter-Strike Go, because why not? It was cheap, and I used to play Counter-Strike Source a little bit, not seriously, just for fun. So I've already bought two games, and I'm kind of wanting The Witcher 3, but it's
for
a little
goodness.
More pricey, and I'm gonna have to convince myself a little longer.
Yeah. I got Assassin's Creed Rogue. I got actually two copies of that, so I'll have to send one back. So I have to decide if I'm going to play it on PC or my Xbox 360.
That should be your final Xbox 360 game before you lay it to rest for good.
Yeah, I honestly think that that's what we're going to do. My wife enjoys us to go through a game down there on the TV anyways, so I think we're going to do that. And then my wife, this is not even on my list, but she thought to buy me this, and I was so excited about this. I've been using it already. She got me a Super Nintendo USB controller.
Nice.
That's
so
appropriate for
I can
the podcast.
Just plug it into my computer. So last night, I guess I'm not bragging about this, but like, she fell asleep in the bed next to me while I've got my laptop and my Super Nintendo controller hooked up to it playing Chrono Trigger still. So,
yeah.
Isn't it just
more progress?
So much...
That really is such a great game, isn't it?
We're not. I mean, that podcast is done. But no, I mean, let's move forward with that. What games are you guys currently playing? Are y'all doing a new game plus version of Chrono Trigger? Are you playing a different game? Nolan, have you started playing any of those games you purchased? Kenny, you start. Are you playing a game right now?
I'm kind of. I don't know. Sort of between games. That sounds so weird. Like jobs. Like I'm between jobs. I will probably. I haven't started yet, but I will probably new game plus Chrono Trigger a little bit. I've been traveling for Christmas vacation, so haven't had a lot of game time. Have caught a couple games of Dominion, as I've mentioned in the past two of years. It's a fun card game, and we'll continue to do that. And I'm even one who, like, if I'm sitting at a PC and have nothing to do, I'll even pass time with, like, some Minesweeper or something, as silly as that is. But I'm not currently playing, like, a big title game.
So can he's playing Minesweeper over the break?
Yeah, that's good. Nolan?
Mostly Dominion.
I have played a lot of Rocket League. I only got it yesterday, but I've played it a lot.
That's awesome. That's one I'm planning to pick up. Is it fun?
You guys really need it so we can play together because it's a team of three, and it's so much fun and addicting.
I'm pretty sure after this podcast, I'm going to have Kenny purchase it for me as a gift.
Oh, that's nice, Kenny. Yeah, it's so much fun. Like when I first turned it on, the first game I played, just laughing so hard at just what I was doing and what this game actually is. But I plan on playing some more of that, and I'm not sure what other games
I'll play. You're going to go back and play some more Atlantis, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to go beat the Lost Tales of Terrible Game.
I thought that I was going to finish it because I was so close. And
you didn't?
My heart has just been like, no, don't waste your life doing that. I'm still going to finish Chrono Trigger. Still kind of childish for me in some regards, but I've invested, and I mean, I'm enjoying it. Please don't get mad at me, but I'm playing Chrono Trigger. In fact, I just defeated Magnus, and got sucked into a time portal. So,
mm-hmm.
So that's where I am. Yeah.
Wasn't that castle really fun, or did you not like? Did you find it tedious, or did you enjoy it? Because you could,
I found it difficult.
Yeah, it was a little difficult. I feel like you could easily think it was annoying.
Yeah,
remind me of the mechanics on that one. I'm forgetting which castle that was.
You have to go down two different branches and take out Magnus's henchmen.
Flea.
Oh, yeah. I liked that one. That
Flea
was a cool
slash
one.
And yeah. Ozzy.
Ozzy actually cracked me up.
Ozzy is so Dragon Ball.
But he actually made me laugh a lot.
Yeah, so I'm playing that. I'm gonna finish that over the break, I imagine. And I've downloaded Fallout 4. I also got that for Christmas from a good friend.
Sweet.
Nolan.
So awesome.
And I but I'm not gonna be able to play that until I get back. So I don't know.
You probably shouldn't even go to visit family. You should just stay home and play.
Right.
You've got things to do.
The true meaning of Christmas.
Right.
So those are the games that I'm playing right now. So viewers,
ask me if I'm traveling.
You're not. You're having an intimate Christmas with your wife, and that's an okay thing to do.
Yeah.
So whether you're playing Minesweeper or Fallout 4 or Rocket League or whatever game that you're playing, viewers, enjoy and have fun.
Absolutely.
And send us some tweets or emails. What are you playing? And let us know what you're playing. Is it worth playing? Is it something that we should include on this list if it's older than 15 years old? Our retro master list.
For nostalgia's sake, when I get back to my PC, I will probably play a little bit of League of Legends as well over this break. Just a game or two.
Why?
Because Christmas. We played back in the day, and it was a fun game.
Do we need to have an intervention for you?
Yeah, until the community killed us.
Oh, yeah. It's the worst group of people ever. Everyone knows that.
What game do you think was the best video game of 2015? Now, and I know, I think for us three, like, for the most part, we don't typically buy brand new games. We kind of wait.
At least not this year, yeah.
Yeah, at least not this year. But at least we know some of the video game hype, and we've watched or reviewed or listened to or seen some of the footage and different things like that. And so, obviously, we have not played all of the games that came out in 2015, but I still think we can have an opinion of what do you think maybe was best, and what do you think you would have had the most fun with or will have the most fun with at some point.
I know it's not fair to say because I haven't played all of them. I've only played some, like Fallout 4. I mean, I don't know if I've played many others that have come out this year, but just from like what I think, who I think deserves to like be named that, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Might be Super Mario Maker.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
that became huge popular.
It's a brilliant game.
It's a great idea. And it's something that Nintendo, like, I didn't see them doing something like that, like a sandbox style, especially with their main character.
Absolutely. But it was needed.
Big deal.
Yeah, I think that was a great call. You're right.
Not only that, there's so much content. Like you can share your created stages, and then like there's leaderboards for them, I think. And
yeah,
there's so much.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then there's even like somewhat of a story mode where I think it's a 100 stage battle, like where you have to go through 100 stages, and you've only got a certain amount of lives. And and then all the
very, very cool.
Dude, that's You're probably right. But I mean, let me ask you so that we don't just shut that down with the with one mention of a really good game. I think am I wrong that Shovel Knight didn't that come out in 2015?
I don't know.
Don't think so.
Yeah,
Let me.
well, let's no, let's say it did.
It feels older than that, but let me just make sure because that's an amazing
Yeah,
game.
I
don't
know you
know if.
played that and it had a really retro feel and you enjoyed it.
So it was so good. I mean, I'm looking right now at it on my phone. 10 out of 10 on Steam, 4.5 out of 5 Metacritic, 9 out of 10 IGN. People loved that game.
What year?
Came out in June 2014.
Really?
So, yeah.
You're a little
Way off.
behind, but.
I feel like one of the ports came out in 2015 though.
Yeah,
So I think
probably.
we could include that. I mean,
Why
but
not? Like
I
any game that's like patched itself is
right.
valid.
Okay, so but Fallout 4 that came out in 2015, Rocket
It.
League which you're playing right now came out in 2015, Splatoon, huh? Came out in
Yeah.
2015.
Which
So many
Witcher
games.
3 was
Which
well
right.
real,
And
really well received, rather.
I think if you look at list, I think that actually won Game of the Year and
Yeah,
I mean
at
a
the
lot of
awards.
awards.
I don't know that it would be best game, but one that I think of as unique that came out this year that lots of people talked about is the stupid bomb one that I never remember what it's called.
Oh,
You know what I'm talking
the
about?
keep
diffusing?
talking or
Yeah, just keep talking or
explode.
something.
Yeah, just keep something like that.
I think it's called something like that. The concept of that one is really great for me. Like I like the kind of like multiplayer interactive, but from different
Right.
perspectives.
Right.
Like that's unique and I like it.
Arkham Knight.
Yeah. Yeah, I
They
think I don't
had
know.
some
From what I heard, it was a
problems.
rough release and like people have kind
It's
of
like
played that series out, you know?
I don't know if you can even play it on PC still.
That's
I
crazy.
what
Think they
about
still might have problems.
what about
It was that
Final
buggy.
Fantasy Theater Rhythm Curtain Call?
Did that come out this year?
I don't know.
Dustin bought that for me for Christmas, and it's so fun.
Do you
Because
know
it's.
anything about it, Kenny? No.
Just the tiny bit that you guys had mentioned in talking to you previously. It's
It's
just a Final Fantasy themed game, like rhythm game, right?
Yeah, it's a rhythm game,
Yeah.
but it's all the songs, and you've got a party of characters, and so you're in battles when you're performing the songs, and depending on how well you do, you can do limit breaks or summon or do, I mean,
Huh,
all
that's
sorts of
actually kind of
things.
cool.
You have a team you can pick from, like the main characters from the games. It's
That actually
a
sounds kind of
lot
fun.
of
I'd be
fun.
terrible at it. I don't do those rhythm games well generally, but it'd be fun. Like it'd be one I'd enjoy watching someone else play.
It came out in 2014, Dustin. In April.
These years just
Yeah,
merged together.
you're striking out.
Do you guys like where games are headed? Like in 2015, I feel like there was a lot of kind of, in my opinion, negative shifts towards some sad things. Like I think in some areas, obviously, and this might be every year, but in some areas there's some improvement graphically.
Sure.
Hopefully, we're always moving in the right direction and thematically, musically, all these things. But I think in the structure that games are that you know a lot of companies are moving with their DLC, with incomplete games, with I mean like
Oh, yeah.
Ark. We just mentioned Arkham Knight. I think they just re-released it for PC finally. Remember, they recalled that. I don't know how much y'all were in that, but they recalled that for PC, gave people their money back. They just recently re-released it, but it's
And it was still terrible,
still
still
broken.
almost unplayable. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's what I heard. It's
Nolan,
ridiculous.
we've talked about this.
Listen, I think this almost comes down to like the point of our podcast even existing, and that is that like games are good regardless of like when they come out, based on whether or not they're actually good, whether there's story and whether they're intriguing and whether there's replayability and what, you know what I mean?
Whether they can
And
weather time, it's like
right, and
how
what
old it is.
exactly. And anymore, it's such a financial thing, you know, so
Right.
DLC and microtransaction driven, and like that it really is taking away from that sort of complete feeling of here is a game I can explore it, play it, enjoy it, love it, you know?
In that sense, I feel like a lot of indie developers, I'm really liking the creativity that they're throwing out
That's
into the
true.
industry. I mean, it's
There's
great. Like
good
Shovel Knight, we
stuff.
just talked about, so creative and so much fun. But I feel like one of the things where we're struggling, and it was initially meant to be a good feature, is the fact that developers can now patch games because of internet connections and because everything's going to be connected to some sort of account or just internet access, so they can patch games now. And it's a lot of developers lately are dropping the ball on releases because, yeah. And I don't know if it's because they know in their mind, well, we can fix it later.
Sure.
What?
Shipping buggy or incomplete products. Mm-hmm.
And it just reinforces my just frustration and almost hatred for pre-ordering things and just like how that's so pushed. Like, pre-order the game or just buy it when it comes out now. I mean,
yeah,
that
bothers me.
Wait
half a week and just let the community react before
then, like,
you buy stuff.
DLC being pushed as like, I mean, on release, you'll have, you know, people being like, well, look out for the DLC that's coming. It's like, okay, how much is that going to cost me? And is it worth it? And it's just really ugly and I don't like it.
Season passes, like, who thought that would be a thing?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, I mean,
but games are fun, and that's why people are willing to shell out money for it. I just wish developers were a little more, I don't know, holistic in their approach, or a little more.
I don't know. I like
how they go about it.
I like what you said, Kenny, and then Nolan, even what you said about the indie developers. But I think some people have an understanding that they want to make a good game, not that they want to make money. And I think there are a lot of game creators nowadays that maybe not the original creator, but that through the developing process and through the producing process, that it becomes this money thing rather than this creative art experience type thing.
I don't want to put too much blame on developers. I really don't know a lot about how game development goes. Yeah. I mean, other than just like base level knowledge, it's more so like companies, you know, like giant companies wanting to push games and like giving them less time. And then they just want it. What you said, it's money. It's a money issue. And that's kind of respectable, but not if it's going to have that effect on your customers. I mean, it's like crapping your customers
out. And there's balance there. Like, you want funds flowing into gaming so that people are paid to create games, but you also don't want it to become the point to where, you know, what's made isn't actually why people have enjoyed and have developed this industry in the first place, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, game and content creators deserve to be paid for what they do, and they deserve to be paid even well for what they do and make a lot of money. Like, that's fine, but I think it's just, what is your priority? Is your priority to make money? And if so, you'll put out a game that doesn't even work on a console so that you can get the funds for that first week of sales. Or you will create something, you know, worth being created and that is completely playable and it's completely compact in its presentation and everything else. And then you put that out. And I think that's the way to go, and we'll still accomplish those things of making money for a corporation and, you know, giving gamers good experiences.
Oh yeah, no doubt. So all the game developers that are following our podcast,
right,
would be awesome.
Right, please listen to us because we know everything.
It's true.
What 2016 release are you most looking forward to playing?
You know, oddly enough for me, because I'm not generally a shooter guy. And I'm assuming it's releasing in 2016, but I'm actually
a new version of Minesweeper.
The first person Minesweeper that's coming up. No, I'm actually a little bit excited to see, Overwatch, the little bit that I've seen about it, some of the kind of teamwork elements and the, you know, sort of, Blizzard quality that they bring to so many of their games, just shine and polish and, you know, it'll work and it'll work great if they do a good job with it. And I've only barely dabbled and watched a little, so I have no idea the state of the game at the moment. But it's one that looks intriguing to me and that I'll probably checking out.
Yeah, remind me of what that is.
Have you not? Oh, it's a Blizzard game, a first-person shooter, and it's sort of first-person shooter meets MOBA. It's not like objectively a MOBA, but like you have different characters who have different skill sets. And you're working on a team against another team who has different characters with different skill sets. So it's a first-person shooter, but you might have a healer. You might have, you know, a tank who's got skills that are like drawing aggro. You might have, you know, an assassin who's really having to sneak in and kind of just snipe people out. And so it's a, you know, diversity of character and then interaction in those teamworks and accomplishing objectives. A shooter, but I think a lot of objective-based shooter stuff, capture the flag, you know, holding of bases, things that can really be sort of teamwork and objective driven. And anyways, it looks promising to me, and that's not even ultimately being a huge shooter fan, but it's one I'll check out for sure.
You're a Blizzard fan, so
I am a Blizzard fan. Yeah, they do good stuff.
Nolan, do you know of anything that's coming out that you're excited for?
The only one that comes to mind, and I guess it's coming out next year, is Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah.
It's probably yours as well. But I don't know if there's an official date. I mean, I haven't been keeping up with it exactly.
Do you know what
they are
with
saying
it?
2015.
I've gotten a little away from the series, so I'm kind of not in the loop here. You guys,
this game's changed name. Like the title of the game has changed names. It's been through like what 10 plus years of like the theory and the idea of it,
and the development. I think to some degree.
Yeah, the development and just like different team members coming and going. And
is it just RPG? Is it open world? Is it like
it's a canon Final Fantasy
Kenny,
game?
It's not an MMO, right? They realized that was a
right. No. It's not an MMO. It's a game. Okay. It's going wonderful. To right now. It's just on PS4 and Xbox One, so that's a problem for me. But the it's a futuristic Final Fantasy, and
nice.
It's four or five guys that for the most part are traveling around the world in a car, like in an updated car. And I mean, he's the prince on a throne, and it's all about those crystals. The Crystallis stuff is still going on, and so I mean, it looks amazing.
I'll have to check it out for sure.
Yeah, but
if it releases this year or whenever it releases.
I think both of us are going to be excited about Dishonored 2, which I believe has a 2016 release.
Oh yeah, completely forgot about that game.
So that will be fun. Some other ones that I'm excited for is Rise of the Tomb Raider. It's that new Tomb Raider series. Meh. My wife and I don't meh me.
I'm not a Tomb Raider fan. I'm allowed my opinions. And though we often overlap, they're often very different as well.
My wife and I, and I'm sorry that my wife and I enjoy sitting down together and playing a good action game every once in a while.
Oh no, that's great.
Like, are you vying for like divorce? Is that what you're about?
No, not even a little bit. If I knew that that's what was pushing it, I would be like, play the snot out of that game.
Mafia 3 is coming out, and that's really exciting because the setting is like a 1950s New Orleans.
Oh, that's cool.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's the 50s, actually. It might be the 60s. It's in that time frame, and it's your main character is a guy that has come out of the war. Well, I guess it's Vietnam, so it would be the 60s. And so he's got those abilities, those skills, those talents, and he is back in New Orleans, and he before he went to the war, he was in some kind of mafia gang, and he gets pulled back into that underworld stuff now that he's been through Vietnam. And so they've recreated the New Orleans set, and so you can walk down their fictionalized Bourbon Street.
Like a classic area. Yeah, like the vibe of New Orleans, it's such a cool place. And so that'd be a fun place to spend in a video game. Okay, so I also have a question. Since New Game Plus really is about us playing these old games, are there any that we know of, and we may not, we haven't like researched this, I don't think, are there any games that are just now hitting the 15-year mark that we'll be able to play in 2016 that we haven't had on our catalog before?
Great question.
Yeah, that's interesting that you asked that, because Antonin tweeted at us, I believe yesterday, and he was asking kind of the same thing. He said, hey, since 2016 is here, would you guys consider games from 2001?
And I think so.
That's hard. I mean, if we're doing our 15-year thing, then we've got to say yeah, but also that does not feel retro.
No.
It is, if you actually start naming games from 2001 and then think about when you played those games, in your brain you're going to go, that was a long time ago.
I just put up a list called Most Popular Video Games Released in 2001.
Okay, give us a few.
Final Fantasy X.
Really?
That's not retro.
It's not okay, but
no.
If we played that, I'd be okay.
We'll have to see. How about this? Like,
oh, Dustin, you're going to be happy?
Oh, yeah, give us a few more.
GTA 3, whatever. Max Payne 1.
Oh my goodness, that does feel retro. And
Halo 1.
Wow.
Just to be able to play that game, we might want to say the 15 years stands.
Melee.
That's a great game. Super Smash Brothers?
Mm-hmm.
Melee. I mean, we could put the original one on even. That's a great game as well.
RuneScape, my friends.
RuneScape. Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Atlantis, the Lost Empire.
There you go. No.
Paper Mario.
I would be interested to hear our viewers' opinions. Like, we've said 15 years and kind of stuck to that. But if you guys have an opinion strongly one way or another on whether we should say 2000 and prior, which is kind of 15 years as we've started, or if we should always say 15 years, and as time progresses, you know, do newer, older games, shoot us an email. Let us know what you guys think, which would be the better approach. If you've got a game that released in 2001 or 2002 that you're hoping we play or whatever, just give us some feedback on that so we can make an informed decision.
And I think, you know, our thing has been 15 years just because we're going into a new year. I don't think that would require a change. I think we just be conscious of the games that we're putting there. And if we end up with a list that's half games from 2000 and 2001, then we're not doing something right.
Sure.
I think just spreading out our list, having games from the 80s and the 90s, as well as the 2000s and
early 2000s.
Yeah, I think.
Because then every once in a while it'll be like
more relevant.
Final Fantasy X, that seems recent, but then you're like, wow, that's 15 years older.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's good every once in a while. And we put them through a randomizer, and so it's not like we hand-select the games anyways.
Yeah, we've got a ton of different years and different genres and everything so far that we've gone through. And as long as it keeps feeling like that, where we're discovering new old games, you know, of all different varieties, I'm real pleased. And I think that'll keep things interesting for those who are viewing our show.
Let's... I just imagine that our viewer that is listening to this, you know, that they're riding in the back seat of their parents' car, or they're at the gym, or whatever they're doing right now. They're coming to the end of their time with us right now, just for this episode. And so let's kind of bring this towards a close. What are some of our hopes and plans for New Game Plus for the podcast for 2016? What are some things that we hope to achieve, we hope to implement, some of the things that we brainstormed? Can we kind of give them like a peek at the behind the scenes to see kind of what we're planning some for 2016?
Microtransactions.
Yeah. Microtransactions,
so we're implementing that immediately. If you continue listening past the 5-minute mark in our future podcast, you're just going to add another dollar onto what you've been paying.
Let's get ready.
So
we will have a season pass, though.
Now, realistically.
For me, and I know this isn't like so much like a like progression kind of thing, but when I just think about like next year and what I'm looking forward to, I hope we can just have one or two more of those classic... like games that I discover that have existed and I've missed them, or I've forgotten about them even, that give me that just moment of sort of pure gaming pleasure. You know, I've gotten a few of those so far, a number really, but some of them just especially great as we've sort of began this journey. I just want to keep finding more of those, you know?
I think one of my hopes is that we would have more viewer interaction. It's been really cool to see a couple of you. I know Antonin's been really active with us, give thoughts on some of the games that we've played. And I think that's what I hope that we can move towards being a thing, like all of us experiencing it and sharing it.
Absolutely. I got to say, doing this process has been super, super fun for me. And so for viewers to follow along and play these games with us, I really think is the best way for our podcast to be experienced, you know?
Yeah,
because then it's not like a we know everything, because we never claim to know everything about these games. It's just seriously revisiting them and then like talking about it. So it'd be really great to see our viewer interaction to take off.
For sure. Yeah, so tell other people, shoot us emails, respond on Twitter, all those things, please.
For that to happen, I guess the podcast just has to grow, because in any podcast, in any social aspect, I mean, you're not going to have 100% interaction. Like, there's going to be a large percentage that just wants to listen to and wants to
acknowledge
and engage. And that's completely okay. But I think that group that does want to interact would expand naturally if our viewership expands. And so, you know, if there's anything that you can do, if you're listening to this and you enjoy kind of what we're producing, then try the only way, like, we're not up on billboards, man. We haven't We haven't purchased newspaper advertisements. We're not in the yellow pages, man. And so we're not getting all the traffic that all those yellow pages are ads are getting. And so we rely on you to let your friends know through social media. Anytime you retweet us, then some of your friends are seeing that. Or anytime you send us a message on Facebook or a comment or share our episodes. Those are huge.
I've got one great suggestion. If you haven't gotten someone a Christmas gift, and by the time you're listening to this, Christmas may already be over. I think it will. So you're like slacking and you're behind, but you're also broke or cheap. Just like download this free podcast for someone and tell them Merry Christmas.
I think that's brilliant, Kenny.
You know, I have my moments.
We also in 2016 intend to invite some guests on the stream. We've talked about that, about getting some other gamers or even some creators or developers or just different people involved with some of these old games and the creation process of that. We'd love to do that, maybe even bring on some friends to talk about a game that we played that really meant something in their childhood. And so that's one of our plans, and that would definitely help with the flow of people that are being introduced to our podcast. Definitely, we want to continue to be able to produce more content for you guys, and we're limited right now, just in time and in scope. And yeah, I don't know, I'm not sure if you know, guys, but we're not making anything off of this right now. We've just spent money to try to produce this
just for fun.
It costs us a little bit of money to bring this podcast to you, and we're happy to do it for sure.
Sure, for sure. But in the future, I would love for us to be able to have this kind of working relationship where we're able to invest more time into it and be able to produce more content where we can maybe even stream some of our interactions with the games throughout the week, or we'd be able to upload some Let's Plays or some various gaming content to our YouTube channel and just do some things like that we're limited and can't possibly do right now. So these are just some of our hopes, some of our dreams for 2016. And, we love doing this, and this is fun. This is, the first time that I have ever done a podcast. Nolan, it's his first time, and it's Kenny's first time. This is all of our first time. And so we're entering into this together, and that you would even stop to listen to us this year, that is a great Christmas gift.
Yeah, so thank you so much. Really,
we're appreciative of all you guys listening and viewing our show.
And so before we leave you, we do want to...
Oh, yeah, we need to pick a game, don't we?
Yeah, we want to select a game.
I thought we were wrapping it up. Like, I segued perfectly, and then it was kind of preemptive. So let's randomize this business.
All right, so our final game for 2015, then moving us into 2016, it looks like it's going to be Duke Nukem 3D.
You're kidding.
Never played Duke Nukem.
You've never played any of the Duke Nukems.
I'm going to end up rampaging now. Yeah. Like, what?
Speaking of Rampage, that needs to be on our list. Do y'all know that one?
Yeah, that one's so cool. Yeah. Where you destroy the buildings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that game is great.
Is that over 15 years?
I'm sure.
I mean,
look it up.
It's
add it to the list if it is.
Yeah, 1986.
I always saw Duke Nukem at the video game store. Like, I would always rent games. I would rent the same ones over and over, and I never got that one. Probably because it was rated M, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think it's very...
There's language in there.
Well, it's very... Yeah, and it's very, very gory.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited then.
Yeah, you're growing up now. You're mature. So
oh, yeah. My kills... No.
All right. Well, we've got the game, and we've pretty much said our goodbyes. I guess, should we read...
Sweet.
Should we read The Night Before Christmas and you guys do sound effects?
Oh, that's a terrible
idea. Oh, that's a great idea.
Unless you
glad you saved
it
that.
Gaming style.
Well, I haven't done that. I just thought that that's what we always do on our final podcast of the year.
Oh, that's our tradition?
That's what I thought. I thought we've done that.
Oh, we're going to have new tradition plus where we don't do that, though. Maybe.
Kenny's calling the shots now.
Everyone. once in a while, I do want to invite you guys, if you enjoy listening to us, to take some time and rate and review us on whatever provider you're listening to us on, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud. If you could just take a moment and give us a 5-star rating, and then unless you think we suck, and then you could also write a little comment there, that helps with our visibility. More people can find us and hopefully join the family.
Spread the joy.
Absolutely. We love you and want to wish you a Merry Christmas. And
absolutely. You guys have a Merry Christmas. Happy great New holidays. Year. Stay safe. And we'll look forward to spending time with you next week playing some Duke Nukem 3D.
We'll see you in 2016.